Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump In Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger, with you live on this Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday, November 27th. It is a beautiful day in southern Arizona as we get prepared for one of the bigger holidays of the seasons and one of the bigger nights for the restaurant and bar industry. As we talked a little bit about last week, that's going to be Blackout Wednesday, as it's called. I don't particularly like that nomenclature. Those of us that try to follow Arizona Title IV liquor rules, but nonetheless, that's what the kids call it, and this one gets hopping tonight. Absolutely everybody is going to have the day off tomorrow, and they are going to go out tonight and celebrate. You know you're going to spend Wednesday or Thursday with grandma. You know you're going to be there with family. You know you're going to watch the Lions lose on Thanksgiving, but on Wednesday, when your friends are back in town to visit their families, where are you going to go? You're going to hit up a restaurant or a bar, and so we are bracing for an absolutely huge evening coming up tonight. Now, Thanksgiving gives me a lot of reflection and pause as we celebrate close to our year over here on Jump In Tucson. I look back and think of all the things that I'm personally thankful for of what we have going on in our lives, right? First and foremost, I'm thankful for my family and our health, for my wife, Katarina, my two daughters, our stepson, that everybody is doing well, and I hope that you guys as well are thankful for that. I'm thankful for the country that we live in, the United States, the peaceful transition of power that looks like we're going to go through here in January. No matter which side of the political aisle you're on, we could have had a real hot mess coming on later this year. And I'm pretty thankful to see that balance work in the United States and to have that peaceful transition of power happening in our country. It could have been an absolutely much, much worse. I'm also thankful for all of our team members that help us in the restaurant industry, in the hospitality industry, make it all happen for you guys. Like, I exist here today on the back of hundreds of individuals who work hard front and back of house every single day to make hospitality, to make food and beverage possible for you, our listeners. And I'm also very thankful for you for taking time out of your Wednesday mornings to listen to us on Jump In Tucson. It's been a great run to have Dr. Ackerley on Mondays and Fridays, Ted Maxwell in the engagement hour on Tuesdays. You get myself talking restaurants and a little local politics on Wednesdays, and Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance on Thursdays. It's been our absolute pleasure to spend this last year with you on Wednesday mornings, and I couldn't be more thankful for you. Now, there are some interesting restaurants popping up that do cause me to be a bit perplexed. And in the news yesterday, you may have seen that The Pickler, a national-based pickleball concept, is opening up in the Oro Valley Marketplace. Now, if you remember the Oro Valley Marketplace, like there are locations inside of that establishment that have been vacant for 20 years. Since it was built by Vestar in 2004, there are literal empty locations that have gone over, let's say, two decades. Unbelievable whiff, right? To have had this project sit empty for this long. And while I'm certainly excited for the experiential concept to come to the people of Oro Valley and to fill up a shopping center that's been empty for a long time, how many pickleball concepts can we have, right? With Corbett's opening up in the last year and a half downtown, we've got Ace Pickleball Club that opened up recently at Stone and River. We've got Paddle Alley coming on Speedway as well, too. Are pickleball concepts the cupcake store of 2024? I don't know, but I am a little bit concerned that there might be a slight oversaturation a pickleball coming to the Old Pueblo. I will keep you guys posted on that one. Now, when we come to restaurants and Thanksgiving, you think about what's open on Thanksgiving and what's not. Traditionally, a very strong family dinner holiday, as you might understand. But there are many, many places that are going to be open this year in the Old Pueblo as well. To begin with, you've got to think about hotel, resorts, and country clubs, right? Like, whether these are locally owned or not, these are your most likely bets to find a traditional Thanksgiving dinner served, or even perhaps a Christmas dinner, because with captive audiences, they absolutely have to open up their food and beverage components to them. And so there are Thanksgiving dinners being done at the Lodge on the Desert, 49er Country Club's got a big one coming up over here as well, too. The Omni Tucson Nationals got a big one coming up as well. The Westward Look does a big, big Thanksgiving dinner. I think it's $109 a head out there, but it is, you know, turkey and all the stuffings put together. We've tried in our own restaurants to stay open on Thanksgiving, but it's actually more challenging than you might expect. Not only are you creating new food products that you don't normally have in your restaurant. So if you don't sell the turkey, you know, that next day, like, what do you do, right? How does cranberry sauce carry over on December 1st? I hypothesize not that terribly well. It's the same kind of thing of pumpkin beer, right? That when I get a keg of pumpkin porter, when December 1st rolls around, it is absolutely worthless. You might as well strip the driveways with it because nobody is ordering anything with pumpkins after this weekend. So traditionally, a lot of restaurants end up closing up, but it can be a big night for bars as well, too. Both Thanksgiving night and Christmas night, particularly the 25th at night and beyond, are actually very, very big days for a number of bars, or as we'd call them, dive bars. Shays is opening up on 4th Avenue at 7 p.m. Thanksgiving night, right? They're giving you the daytime to watch the Lions lose and have that pumpkin pie, and then you can go have a PBR, some adult beverages over there. Trident is open up midday as well, too, on their Swan location. Roadhouse Cinemas is open if you're looking to do something. So there are some options for you on Thanksgiving as well, too. But you better keep an eye on Google or even call the restaurants ahead and take a peek at those hours, because there's just so many places that end up closing down because it just doesn't make a financial sense to prepare turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes in a concept that doesn't normally do it. And your staff doesn't exactly love you having them have to work on such a strong family holiday either. And so we've tried in years past to pull it off, and we're somewhat unsuccessful, I say humbly to my listeners over here, in that one. And so we've decided if you can't beat them, join them. And we're giving that night off to our crew members. Now, we talk a lot about history and history of restaurants on Jump In Tucson. And when we come back after the break, we're going to go into a whole segment about starting with the Scordato family, right? A name that you know and love here in Tucson, Arizona, and how it carries over to our upcoming guest, Joshua Valderain, owner of Giuseppe's, coming up after the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Jump In Tucson at 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to Jump In Tucson. I'm your host, Grant Kruger. Very excited to be here with you this Wednesday morning. Live in the KVOI studios, we've got Joshua Valderain, owner of Giuseppe's. Good morning, Josh.
Hey, good morning, Grant.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Before the break, we were talking about the legacy of the Scordato family in Tucson, Arizona, and the long list of restaurants that they've created. Most of our listeners on Jump In Tucson probably know of Scordato's, opened up on West Speedway, right, 1972, out by Gates Pass before there was absolutely anything out over there. Jim Sr. opened up that restaurant and had his four kids all work over there. You guys probably have heard of Daniel Scordato, right? Of Vivace fame, right? And there was also Jim Jr. They had a sister, and there was Joe Scordato as well, too. And all of them went off to open their own restaurants in some capacity. Dan opening up Daniel's first in the Plaza Palomino and later in St. Philip's Plaza, oddly enough, in the location that is now Union Public House. Right, Jim Scordato opened up Scordato's on Tanga Verde, and the building that later became Hooters by the car wash over there and was later blated. And Joe Scordato opened up Scordato's on Broadway. And if you remember Scordato's on Broadway, it's currently Sushi Garden. He ran it for about 5 years or so and got frustrated with the daily grind of the restaurant business, right? Some restaurateurs are marathon runners, like, say, a Dan Scordato, and other restaurateurs like Joe are sprinters,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Built to do awesomeness, but maybe not at the length and time that the marathon runners are. And so, if you recall, Joshua, Joe got tired of that restaurant and sold it to Lute Olson.
Correct.
And the family of Lute Olson ran that restaurant. It became Olson's on Broadway.
Correct.
Joe later opened up Trattoria Giuseppe's in the location that's now Bistro 44, I believe, by the entrance of the Tucson Country Club, and ran that one for a number of years, but in typical sprinter fashion, after a few years, the grind, you know, beat him up. And this is a hardworking, you know, smart guy over here, Joe. And then after a few years, kind of forgot about the pain of the restaurant business and opened up Giuseppe's on Oracle with you guys, correct, Joe?
Correct.
And so how does that history tie into you and your brother with Joe Scordato?
Well, we started over there with Joe. Well, we've been cooking with Joe for a while. We started at the original Trattoria Giuseppe's. My brother kept on his cooking legacy. He kept cooking everywhere around town. His last place, I believe he was at Hacienda del Sol.
Right, in Zona 78 as well, too, Zona, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he was the executive at Zona 78. And we just went from there. I've known Joe for over 30 years now. I met him in the boxing gym, actually, of all places. You know, this is where I met him.
Sure, Joe is a very well-known, yeah, tough guy, boxing trainer as well, too. We were talking a lot of boxing last week on Jump In Tucson, of course, with the Tyson-Paul fight over there.
And that's how I met him. I mean, I walked into his gym. We started working out. Me and him became really close. And he taught me everything I know, cooking, everything. I started working for him. And him and his family just took me in, and they started showing me everything I needed to know about restaurants, his dad. Me and him are really close. He's like a second father to me, I would say now.
I wonder what it is about boxing and restaurants that go together. I'd mentioned on a previous show, the first restaurant that I worked for in Detroit, Michigan, was actually bought by Emmanuel Stewart, if you know the name from Detroit, Kronk Boxing. He managed, at the time, Evander Holyfield and Michael Moore and Oba Carr and like a number of big names in boxing. And so I got to meet like all of those individuals. That's a busboy, right? Serving them, like, don't get me wrong. I wasn't hanging out with those guys. Yeah. I was clearing their plates, but I was pretty starstruck to hang with that many famous boxers. Yeah. I wonder what it is about boxers and restaurants that line up together. We like to get punched in the face or something, I believe.
I think the adrenaline that you get in the same sport of boxing, you do it in the restaurant, you get slammed in the kitchen and you're just cooking your butt away all day, you know?
So,
I think it's all adrenaline. That's
So Giuseppe's opened up, what, about 2009 or so?
Yeah, 2010.
Okay.
We opened up. It was just a concept that me, Joe, and another friend were just kind of throwing it out. And Joe just ran right with it, so we followed him, you know.
So 2010, you're on your 14th anniversary at this point right now?
Yes.
That's a pretty amazing run, Josh, to be honest with you. Like, not that many restaurants make it out of the first 5 years, rather less 10 or now 14 years for Giuseppe's. What do you think the secret sauce is for staying open 14 years?
Consistency. I think consistency, good customer service, and always just talking to your customers. Seeing who they are, because they're people too, you know.
So for our listeners that don't know, where is Giuseppe's located?
It's at 6060 North Oracle in the Casablanca Plaza.
Got it. And so that's on the east side of Oracle, kind of at a landmark you would say where Putney's is,
yeah.
I suppose, would probably be the best description I can give you if you don't know.
Yes, correct. We're right in the courtyard right there where Putney's is at. We've been there for all this time. It was in the beginning, it was a tough location. But we made it work, and people started talking about us, and we got people to get out there all the time now.
No, I remember even the restaurant opening and getting absolutely rave reviews up front from Adam Borowitz, who was the food writer for the Tucson Weekly.
Correct.
At the time over there. And they just talked about what a great value it was for the money as well, too, to have high-end Italian food like that, but at everyday prices.
Correct.
Yeah, not a balance easy to achieve, particularly in the environment today with rising labor and food costs, huh?
That's a tough thing right now. The toughest thing is, you know, trying to stay consistent, giving good product at a fair price. But, you know, obviously we know that minimum wage is going up. Food cost is going up all over again. You know, so we're trying to find that balance every day to keep it fair for the customers and for us, too.
So why the location selection over there in the Casablanca Plaza? What drove you guys to that spot?
Well, it just kind of happened to fall in our lap, honestly. We looked at several locations during that whole process, and that was one of the places we looked at first, but somebody else had taken it. So we put it off for a while. That's why we didn't open until 2010, or else it would have been 2009. And we kept searching and searching, and all of a sudden, Nick Genomatis, the owner, gave us a call that it opened up, and we went and looked, and it was already It was a built-out restaurant.
Yeah, I remember, it was a sort of an ill-fated Italian restaurant before that one, which is kind of nice, right? To be able to walk Correct. Into a spot that's already got some of the bones over there. I think that so many people don't understand how expensive it is to build out a restaurant, right?
Correct.
To take a place that isn't food service and turn it into one. Goodness gracious, you could spend $1 million on that kitchen easily.
Very easy. Yes.
So restaurateurs or wise ones often look for spaces that are already at least partially built out. If you've got that kitchen grease trap, if you've got that hoods, if you've got a big electrical bus already, these are all expenses that nobody gives you any credit for in the restaurant business, right?
That's
nobody
correct.
Walks into one of my establishments and goes, oh my God, honey, look at that type one Ansel hood. There must be at least 30 feet of that. Is that automatic fire suppression? Whoa. And nobody does that, right? No one's paying an extra dollar for a beer for that in some capacity.
Correct.
So if you can find those characteristics in a space up front, you're already winning, and you guys found that, right?
That's correct. We walked into a place. Unfortunately, the guy before us had some issues and he had to leave. But when we walked into this space, it was already done pretty much, and we had equipment and stuff. So it was the perfect timing for us because we were working on a budget at that time, like all of us when we first opened. And we just took it. We redid a couple things, you know, painted it, and we just went for it and see what happened.
No, Joe is one of the best in the business at opening up on a budget. And I'm sure you learned a lot from him. I know I did. I had the opportunity after he sold to you guys. I had the opportunity to work with Joe for a couple months in the old Acacia space as we were converting it to Union. And you know, you learn a lot about spending a couple months in a foxhole with an individual like that while you're rebuilding air conditioner compressors and planetary mixers. You know, there's a certain bonding amongst men, I should say, with that. And I'm sure that happened with you guys opening up as well too, right?
Oh, absolutely. And we were already great friends before that, you know, like I said, from the boxing gym, you know, getting punched by that guy one time, it's you learn a lot right away.
Yes, that's true. He's a tough cat.
Yeah, so he, you know, he's I liked because he was strict, and he always strived for perfection. You know, you're never gonna get it, but we strive. And he, when even in boxing in cooking, everything that he showed me working for him in the very beginning, he was just a man. He's a man of full character, you know, and he taught you how to be like just like him. So that way you can walk prideful everywhere.
Yeah, I love it. Great character over there in Joe Scordato. And you learn something, right? People that grow up in the service industry are so much more likely to be successful because you just learn so many characteristics that you need to have to be hardworking and humble and thrifty, but yet also giving at the same time. It's a
Absolutely.
Really difficult balance.
Absolutely, it is. And you know, you gotta... I don't know how to say this, but you have to learn how to grind through those difficult times in the year. You know, even when you have to cut out a little bit of staff and you have to jump in there and do it. And that's the thing with Joe, is that that's what he taught us, you know, that when stuff hits the fan, you got to step up to the plate and get it done. You know?
Without a doubt, the buck stops with you when you're a restaurateur over here.
Absolutely.
So when did the buck start officially stopping with you and your brother? When did you guys take over as owners completely of Giuseppe's?
Well, when we first opened, me, Joe, came in as a partnership, and it was with him wanting to retire. But you know how he is. He's never going to retire.
Right.
So that was the plan. We called my brother in a couple, like in the year into it, and he was already the chef at Zona 78. He came in full throttle, and we started working from there. So like 2011, Joe went ahead and retired, and we took completely over.
That's amazing. And so basically 13 years with you and your brother on your own running this concept right now, having, you know, been taught and mentored by the Scordatos. And I understand as well, too, that you've got a second location now for Giuseppe's.
That's correct. We opened up 3 years ago out on 22nd and Harrison.
Now, that's amazing. Well, when we come back after the break, we're going to break down what it takes to run a second location, right? To go to turn into a multi-unit operator. It's not easy to run one restaurant, but it's even tougher to run two. We've got another segment coming up with Josh Valderain, owner of Giuseppe's, both on Oracle and at 22nd and Harrison. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant and Josh on 1030 AM The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Grant Kruger. We get you Jump in Tucson every weekday, 9 to 10 a.m. You get Dr. Ed Ackerley on Mondays and Fridays. Ted Maxwell from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council on Tuesdays with his engagement hour. You get me on Wednesdays, and you got Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance on Thursdays. Speaking of Dr. Ackerley, one of his favorite charities, and one of mine too, is Coaches for Charity. And they're doing a big Thanksgiving dinner drive today, delivering meals to hundreds, if not thousands, of Tucson families. If you feel like giving in your heart in some capacity, head on down to coachesforcharity.org. There's a Thanksgiving tab in the upper right-hand corner, and your $35 donation today can help make Thanksgiving happen for an underprivileged family here in Tucson, Arizona. Speaking of underprivileged restaurateur families over here, I've got Joshua Valderain from Giuseppe's back in the studio for us. Welcome back, Josh.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Hey, we were talking about your second location now. You've got a 14-year anniversary at the first Giuseppe's, and you're celebrating 3 years on your second location at 22nd and Harrison. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. We opened up about 3 years ago over there. It was, they used to be a steakhouse before. The gentleman that owns the plaza, you know, he would come into Giuseppe's a lot, and he offered us a location that was kind of struggling. And you know, I was just playing around, and I said, if the price is right, of course I will go. And the price was right. So we ended up taking it. You know, and I think it's the location for it was actually pretty good. You know, we're right there in that Fry's strip mall, and it's where the courtyard, where Vail, you can come in from Vail, from Rolling Rock, all those places. Now you can come right through there through Old Spanish Trail and hit us real quick.
No, I would say the east side right now is a little bit underserved with restaurants as well too. Like there's I think there's a need and a growing, you know, part of Tucson in that southeastern side of the Tucson metro area that's hungry for restaurants right now.
I agree. They just opened up the hospital right down the street from us, that New Northwest. So you know, people have to go somewhere, you know, and when we opened up that location, we got busy right away. Like you said, there's really no other restaurants out there. I think it was great. I don't know. I mean, you should just come out and check it out. I mean, we're doing all the pizzas. We got the pizza oven right there in the dining room where everybody can see the guys throwing pizzas all over the air, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. It's always great to have a visible action station in the middle of the dining room like that. Although it can get pretty hot, huh? Like that.
Absolutely. You never know how hot that thing is until you burn yourself.
Did you drop that oven in yourself, or was that one in the location?
Actually, no, we did that one. We actually went to the Pizza Expo up in Las Vegas. We were looking specifically for an oven. We found one. We got it delivered. Me and Joe Scordato help us. We had to tear down the whole door. We had to tear down some of the wall, get a forklift, put it in the building, and that's where it's going to stay forever.
Do you recall what brand of pizza oven you're using over there?
That's a Forno Bravo pizza oven that we got.
Yep, those are great.
Yeah.
So I still have the old Woodstone pizza oven. The original one from Scordato's Pizza/Pizzeria Vivace is actually in the proof concept right now.
Yes.
That Woodstone 8246 Fire Deck series.
That too. That one's a big one.
Yes, very much so. I mean, these are expensive pieces of equipment. You're talking about something that costs as much as like the average new car.
Absolutely.
Right? Like
absolutely. I think it was expensive, but We got lucky, you know. We found a pretty good oven that's helping us. So
3 years ago, you opened up that restaurant pretty much right in the middle of COVID then as well, too, huh?
Just about. We were coming out of COVID. Greg Furrier, he's the owner over there. He called us up with this idea of taking over this old steakhouse that was there. We went and looked at it, like I said, and it seemed to be the right place, you know, because, again, it was an existing restaurant. It did have some equipment. People don't understand that, you know, just tables and chairs, that's like a $10,000 expense right off the bat.
Of course, when you need hundreds of chairs, you know, even at 10 bucks a piece, you know, you're talking about thousands of dollars. And if you buy the brand new ones at, you know, some restaurant furniture store, they could be 250 or 300 bucks a piece times a few hundred, and suddenly you're looking at serious, serious money to open up a restaurant.
Correct. And, you know, this one had some good bones, so we had to go in there, and obviously we did a remodel. We moved the bar a little bit. We made it a little bit bigger, the bar. We have about 18 seats on the bar. It's pretty nice, actually, man. The bar is way bigger than the one on Oracle, so we have a good bar crowd over there.
No, and there's nothing like a good bar crowd to help out the restaurant business. As I say all the time in Jump In Tucson, we are a house built on well vodka and liquors, right? If everybody ordered a hamburger and a glass of water, a Giuseppe's pizza and a glass of water, like, we might go out of business, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So a healthy bar is certainly, you know, a beating heart of the restaurant over there to keep that going. And I think we're going to see a lot of healthy, happy bars this evening as we talk about that Blackout Wednesday coming up. And again, you're listening to Josh Valderain, owner of Giuseppe's, and the other Giuseppe's. Is it Giuseppe's too, or just Giuseppe's as well?
It's just Giuseppe's as well.
Do you have plans to do any other restaurants? You think anything else is coming up for you and your brother?
We don't know yet. I mean, it's all up in the air, you know. We would like to, but, you know, like you said, the challenges of running two places, it's already there, you know. You know, trying to mitigate my time to both places, it's kind of hard. But, you know, if the right location pops up, and we are super committed and we have the right staff, because you know how staffing could be, I mean, why not, you know? We'll give it a shot again.
Well, you've got to have quite the commute, because thinking of where, you know, 22nd and Harrison is, and then, you know, the original Giuseppe's at 6060 Oracle Road, like, that's quite a hike.
Oh, yeah. Takes me about an hour to get there.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think there'd be flights twice a day or something out of TIA to those two locations. They almost couldn't be further apart.
Yeah, you know, and I wish there was a crosstown freeway or something of that nature, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, we get there. I get there on time, and we make it happen.
One of the things that I think is challenging about being further out in the bedroom communities, when you think of Saurita or you think of Vail or Marana perhaps, all of whom are looking and dying for more locally owned full service restaurants, is where do we get the staff from, right? If you're in one of these tonier neighborhoods, these new bedroom communities, planned communities, where does your dishwasher come from? Where does your busboy come from? Because you need those individuals, right? In Midtown, we can get that. But what kind of employment challenges have you found being out that far east?
Well, the east side, it was a little challenging trying to find cooks and busboys and dishwashers. We did have a hard time with it, but then we started going in that route of trying to get maybe some kids that are starting out in the workforce, you know, 17, 18-year-olds to help us out with the busing and dishwashing. I did have to bring some of my old waiters from the other place to come out and start helping these guys, pretty much training, you know, these guys, you know, learning the wine knowledge and everything of that nature. You know, you have to teach it to all these new guys. And then especially if you go to a location where they might not drink a lot of wine, you know, it's a whole different demographic in that area. So we have to teach them, educate them, so they can educate the customers too.
Of course, no easy feat, Josh. And this is something that doesn't come in a day or a week of training, right? This is something that takes months, and in some cases, even years, to develop that skill set, to know everything there is to know about the myriad of food and beverage selections or substitutions that can be made on those in a restaurant.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I always try to get these guys to do food pairings with people, you know, pair their food with a great wine or even a beer, you know, it all tastes great, you know, but especially selecting a good wine, I believe.
What's your favorite dish that you guys make at Giuseppe's? What's the one that you really think you're known for that you're most proud of?
Well, the one that I think I make the best is I make a lamb osso buco. with a big lamb shank.
Oh wow!
You know, Joe's the one that taught me that was his mom's recipe. He taught it to me. We practice on it a lot, and I think I perfected it now. So.
The lamb osso buco over at Giuseppe's. You've got me intrigued. Something we'll have to go check out for sure. That is awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, we've got one more segment with Josh coming up after the break. We're going to break down some of his favorite restaurants here in Tucson and Southern Arizona. Things that we're thankful for Thanksgiving. This is your pre-Thanksgiving show on Jump in Tucson. Don't go anywhere. Another segment with Grant and Josh from Giuseppe's coming up after the break. Welcome back to this Thanksgiving Eve special episode of Jump in Tucson. We're live in studio with Josh Valderain, owner of Giuseppe's. Welcome back for one last segment here, Josh.
Well, thank you, Grant. I appreciate it.
Hey, we were talking restaurants at the beginning of this show about restaurants that were open on Thanksgiving. Are you guys going to be open on Thanksgiving?
No, unfortunately. That's the one day I try to get these guys to be with their families.
No, it's tough for local restaurateurs, we said, to do that. There are a few others. Some listeners have texted me over here a few other places that are open. And so to round out that list for our listeners, Charo Steak and Charo Del Rey will both be open tomorrow from 11 to 7 p.m. And they're doing some Thanksgiving dinners over there as well, too. Blue Willow is going to be open also from 11 to 7. Seems to be a common theme time over here. And it looks like Brother John's is going to be open for lunch only 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. So there are a few local options out there as well. Just give me a couple of your favorite local restaurants. As a restaurateur, and I know you probably barely get any time off like I don't as well too, give me a couple of your favorite local restaurants.
Well, I do I think I was talking to you about it earlier, but I do like Highfalutin's. My buddy Mo over there, he does a great job. And I like eating there a lot too.
So, understood. Yeah, also on Oracle Road over there.
Yeah, and then I like El Rustico.
Sure, Juan Manza.
Yep,
he's no stranger to 10:30 a.m. The Voice over here. I think that Christy Simone gets his tacos all the time.
Absolutely.
Over here. I'm always jealous.
And then I don't know if you've seen my buddy's new place called Ham Bones over there. He does a pretty good pot roast. I went out there, and man, he's got me hooked a little bit there.
And that's, of course, CJ Ham. They're located on Craycroft, just north of the Air Force Base. Just opened up a little over a month ago or so now.
Yeah,
huh?
He just opened up, so he's done a good job over there.
Yeah, we're definitely a cheerleader for CJ and all local restaurateurs.
Absolutely.
Over here as well, too. I don't think most people understand just the amount of time, money, dedication, and risk that goes in to that entrepreneurial dream of starting your own establishment.
Absolutely.
Did you ever think you'd own your own restaurants?
Not in the beginning, but then when I met Joe, then I was like, yep, I'm pretty sure we're going in that direction.
No, it's such a cool story, you know, to learn from such a hallowed Tucson restaurant family and how to do it and how to do it right. And I feel like Joe is not just a successful boxing trainer, but also sort of a life coach as well, too, when it comes to the restaurant business, huh?
I do agree on that. He is a great life coach. I mean, we did boxing for quite a few years, and he coached me through the whole time, and that's how I got stuck with him. You become kind of like a father and son relationship almost, you know?
Yeah, without a doubt. So much correlation between those. I saw on your Instagram page, you had Jose Luis Castillo on your page as well, too, a fighter from Guaymas, Sonora.
Oh, yeah.
I know Jose fairly well, actually. He used to come to my restaurant in San Carlos quite regularly, and we were big fans. I remember that Diego Corrales fight with Jose Luis Castillo. It's maybe one of the best fights I've ever seen in my life. Amazing, amazing fighter as well, too.
Yeah. He was great, man. I ran into him at the TCC at one of the fights there, and he was really cool. I just talked to him, and he took a picture with us, and really nice guy. So
pretty awesome stuff. Well, there's certainly a correlation, I think, between boxers and restaurateurs over here. Love to take a licking and get back up in that next round and wipe the blood off your chin and stand up and go out there and fight. And I salute you guys for fighting so hard as well, too. Pretty amazing to have opened up a second location in pretty much one of the most toughest environments we could have had in the restaurant industry as well, too.
Absolutely. It was tough. In the beginning, it was tough, but I think now we're okay. We're doing good. Everybody knows we're there now, and people have been really supporting us on the east side part of town. So
it's tough for multi-unit restaurateurs in Tucson. That lack of a freeway system, you know, to connect you to your various locations. If you were in, say, Phoenix, right? You could have a Gilbert location and a Chandler location and one in Tempe and one in Scottsdale and one in the West Valley. And you see it, you know, concepts like the VIG or Zips or these other, you know, sort of stamped out, you know, concepts that are fabricated together. But it's so much tougher in Tucson to pick locations that both work and spread out the love and then also allow you to actually commute between those ones as well, too.
Yeah, that's the toughest part. It's just commuting from one to the other. You know, you got to stay on top of them. So that was the toughest part, is getting across town to them.
Do you think you'd ever open up a shop up in Phoenix in some capacity, or is Tucson expansion the outer limits of where we're going to go with Giuseppe's?
Well, it all depends. You know, we've talked about Phoenix before. We've had people interested to helping us out there. And we also had people interested in us going up to Las Vegas too. But I, you know, that, like I said, that's a tough business to go across, even going to Phoenix, you know, just to make sure that everything's running correctly and you stay on top of it, you know?
No, the Vegas thing is very tough. I talk to my friend Ray Flores regularly, and Ray is, of course, as the listeners probably know, you know, the Charo versus Christy Simone would say, the various El Charo and C Charo concepts. And they had that store, Echo in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
And he talked about just the challenges of working in a union-driven environment in those hotels is so much different than doing a regular restaurant as well, too. Like a serious, serious challenge.
It's so tough, yeah. I mean, if I was going to do something else, I would do it here locally. Probably like maybe Sahuarita or in those those places where there's not too much going on. Even in Gladden Farms, probably, you know, there's nothing going on over there too much.
No, I was at an event with Mayor Murphy from Sahuarita just a few weeks ago, and they've been cooing very heavily to try to get some local restaurants to come into that area too. So I think there's a lot of interest in their various chambers in attracting businesses. So that could be a good move.
Maybe, yeah. Well, that's something to think about, you know?
And I know that Marana is looking as well, too. They've got a restaurant recruitment task force out there.
Oh, like, wow.
Why don't we have one of those in the city of Tucson, huh? I feel
that's
like we've
right.
got like a restaurant deterrent task force out there, unfortunately. But they're looking heavily in Marana. So if that's an area that you and your brother would consider expanding to, I think you'd be welcomed with open arms out there as well, too. Why don't you break down our last couple of minutes here where the Giuseppe's are located? Give us the website, the location. Let our listeners know where to find you.
Well, you know, our original place is at 6060 North Oracle Road. It's in the Casablanca Plaza. The number there is 520-505-4187. Our second location, it's at 9431 East 22nd Street. It's in Suite 157. And, you know, the number over there is 520-771-8359. Our website is giuseppesrestaurante.com. It's a great place to come and hang out with the family. We're very family oriented there. We welcome family with kids, everybody to come in.
Are the hours
place.
The same for both stores as well,
the,
too?
The hours are the same. The only difference is our North Oracle. We on Sundays we open up at 2 over there because of the crowd. But 22nd is open at 11 o'clock all the way through to 9 o'clock on Sundays. So
amazing. Well, I salute you and your brother for taking both the entrepreneurial risk of opening up your own establishment, right? Employing dozens, if not probably more than 100 people working between those two stores to put that all together. And for your success.
Thanks.
Making it 14 years in the restaurant business in Southern Arizona is no small feat. I always say that after about 10, they should hang your jersey up in the Restaurant Hall of Fame over here next to some of those Scordato jerseys as well, too.
Well, I hope that would happen one day.
It will, for sure. So for our listeners out there, I want to thank you. We are incredibly thankful here at KVOI at 10:30 a.m. for your listenership. I hope that you've got a great holiday tomorrow and you get to spend that time with your family. I'm thankful for all the local restaurateurs and business people that put it together to make it happen for all of us for those holidays such as Thanksgiving. So take the time to visit the places that are open tomorrow if you happen to be in that neighborhood. We look forward to catching up to you next Wednesday. It's going to be December already. It's hard to believe that we'll have a year over here on Jump in Tucson. It has been our pleasure. Again, this is Grant Kruger and Joshua Valderain. Thank you for spending part of your Wednesday morning with us on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk.